Praise the Lord! This is Dr. Ruth, Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today as we continue with my expository verse by verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hopefully you have listened to the previous session, which was titled Luke chapter 1a. Today we are still in Luke chapter 1. Today is 1b. If you recall, in the previous session, I did mention that it is a very lengthy chapter. So I am doing multiple sessions out of Luke chapter 1. So we pick up here in verse 26. Okay, so in verse 26 here, the next upcoming verses would talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus foretold. So verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now, if you had listened to the previous session, I did talk about how the angel Gabriel had appeared to Zechariah and informed him that him and his wife Elizabeth at their old age would have a son, and Zechariah had doubted, and as a result, he was made mute. So in these verses, we see the same angel Gabriel appearing to Mary to relay a message from the throne of God. So let us pay attention how Mary would respond to this angel. Okay, so the angel had been sent, and now we are continuing here. The virgin's name was Mary, verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." We don't know where the angel appeared to Mary, whether or not Mary was in her home or outside, but Bible scholars believe that Mary was at home when this angel appeared to her and gave her this blessed news that she is highly favored. Isn't that awesome? To just know that you are highly favored by God. But friend, today, as a 21st century follower of Jesus Christ, you are highly favored by God. You know why? Because Jesus Christ died for your personal sins, okay? And he is alive, and the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. You are a child of God. You are a saint of God. So you are favored by God. I hope you receive that. I hope you can claim this promise that you are favored by God because of what Jesus Christ has already done for you. Okay, so here we see Mary receiving this blessing from God that you are highly favored. We go into verse 28. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. Isn't that something? Back then, Jesus Christ had not even been born. So for someone such as an angel of God to tell you that you're highly favored would cause a lot of wondering, just like Mary was doing here. We move into verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Awesome. Friend, today we are all favored by God because we have the triune God living on the inside of us. So we are favored. And you know, as we're going through this, all these blessings that the angel Gabriel has spoke over Mary's life, claim it for yourself today. I do that. I tell myself that I am highly favored and blessed by God. I tell myself that God is favoring me. You can claim these promises right now because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. So this is not just for Mary, it is for you. Claim it and receive it and see how it changes your mood. You would be filled with the joy of the Lord, okay? Verse 31, you will conceive now. The angel will start to explain to Mary why she's favored. So that is what we are about to get into. Before I even proceed, I want to bring this to your attention, that verses 28 all the way to verse 33, this is called the Annunciation, okay? Many Bible scholars believe that when Luke was doing his in-depth research to write out this gospel account as inspired by the Holy Spirit, Mary herself told Luke this interchange or this encounter or dialogue with the angel. So it is called the Annunciation. Just take note of that, verses 28 through 33. And again, if you had listened to the introduction and also in the previous session, I had said that Luke had done intensive research. Eyewitness testimonies gave him the content that he clearly organized in a comprehensive manner that we have today called the Gospel of Luke, all inspired by the Holy Spirit. So Bible scholars are saying that Luke obviously interviewed Mary, who relayed this story to him. So that is what's going on here. So we go back to verse 31. The angel is speaking to Mary. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. All prophecies prophesied in the Old Testament, the angel Gabriel was just reiterating, telling Mary all of this. These were all prophesied in the Old Testament. And one prophecy is coming to mind, Isaiah 7:14, that had been prophesied that a virgin will conceive the Messiah. Okay, we are now in verse 34. So the angel Gabriel had relayed this blessed news to the Virgin Mary. Let us find out how Mary would respond. There is a lot we will learn here from Mary. Verse 34, how will this be? Mary asks the angel, since I am a virgin. Think about that. Let me repeat that. How will this be? Mary asks the angel, since I am a virgin. Mary was asking for specific clarification. Nothing wrong with that. This was an awesome response from Mary compared to Zachariah, whom I discussed in the previous session, who was asking for a sign. How can I be sure of this? We see the two contrasts, the opposite, how Zachariah was doubting what the angel had said, but Mary was seeking for clarification. Let us continue. And before I even continue, friend, when we have a word from God, there's a principle here right away. Let me just share this. When we receive a word from the Lord, or we're studying God's word and we are not sure about a certain revelation, instead of doubting, we are learning that we would be wise to seek clarification. We can simply say, God, could you reveal more to me? I don't understand. I need a deeper revelation. And God, in his love and mercy and his desire for us to get to know him more, will do one of two things. Provide clarity through his word as we are studying, and that clarity would be confirmed in our heart, or the Lord would align your path with someone, a preacher or somebody else, who would provide that clarity, and you would have the confirmation in your heart from God the Holy Spirit. So it is very appropriate to seek clarity. In fact, God rather would have us seek clarity than for us to act ignorantly on his word. So Mary is seeking for clarity from the angel Gabriel. So let's find out how God would provide this clarity, which is a big lesson for us that when we seek clarity, God responds. Verse 35. Now the angel is about to provide the clarity to Mary. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So already the angel is explaining to Mary how, specifically, how this will take place. Don't you just love it? God is so detailed oriented. God is so precise. God is not the author of confusion. In the same way, God is providing clarity, detailed, to Mary how she would become pregnant. Likewise, whatever we are seeking God for, clarity, God wants to give us specific clarity, details, how to go about what we want to step out in faith to engage in. Friend, God is so willing to provide clarity. So never doubt that. Okay? This is awesome how God, speaking through the angel Gabriel, explained so clearly to Mary that there was no longer confusion. Verse 36, the angel continued, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." So the angel provided added information to Mary to assure her. And I believe in my heart, this is not written in these verses, but this is coming to heart right now. I believe one of the reasons why the angel Gabriel gave Mary this added information, because God already knew that Mary would go spend time with Elizabeth. And when Mary got into Elizabeth's house, that would be another confirmation and assurance that what the angel had said is true and is coming to pass and will come to pass. So this extra information that the angel gave Mary was relevant for Mary to stand strong and believe and be affirmed by what she was hearing. God is so good that sometimes he would even give us extra information just so that we can trust him more. That's awesome. Okay, so now the angel had told Mary how she would conceive of the Son of God and provided details that even Elizabeth had experienced a miracle in her old age. So we continue in verse 37. "For no word from God will ever fail." I just love it. It's just what I just explained, that the angel explained to Mary how she would conceive the Son of God and explained to her how the miracle had taken place. Elizabeth in her old age is pregnant, and the angel concluded by saying that "For no word from God will ever fail." So true. Just like what I was saying, that Mary needed that extra word from the angel to be affirmed and to stand strong, because it was going to be a challenge. This is so awesome. No word from God will never fail. Do you believe that? I hope you believe this, because if you are standing on God's promises today, no word from God will ever fail. God is 100% faithful. When God says something, he means it. It will come to pass. We just have to believe and trust God and train ourselves to depend on God's word and his faithfulness. Because when God says something, it will come to pass. Okay? The word of God will never return void. It will always accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. So whatever you're believing God for today, boy, it shall come to pass at God's ordained time. Your job is not to give up. Stand. Okay, so we move on to verse 39. So Mary now is going to go visit Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, we see how John the Baptist in her mother Mary's womb heard the voice of Mary, and he leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Couple of things are going on here. Babies, fetus, are alive in their mother's womb. No wonder the Bible teaches against abortion. We see how the baby was alive and active and was able to discern the environmental noises. And this is so good that we see that acknowledgement of John the Baptist acknowledging Mary when John the Baptist in his mother's womb heard the voice of Mary, who would be the mother of the Messiah. This is awesome. I just love it. Verse 42. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, this is Elizabeth now, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This is awesome. Now, keep in mind, Elizabeth at this time was already filled with the Holy Spirit, and she already knew that Mary was pregnant with the Messiah. So Elizabeth already honoring God and asking Mary, "Why am I so favored that you will come into my home?" "As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped with joy." So this is Elizabeth telling Mary that the moment you walk into my house, the baby in my belly, i.e. John the Baptist, leaped with joy. This is awesome how the Lord Jesus in Mary's womb and John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, they were just rejoicing. Oh my God, babies, fetuses are alive. They can communicate with us. This is awesome. Miraculous blessings of God, children. Verse 45. "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So Elizabeth was just pronouncing blessings over Mary. She was filled with joy that Mary came to visit her. And I want to say a couple of things here about what Elizabeth said. Let's go back here in verse 42. Elizabeth said, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women." I want to clarify, this is not saying that Mary is above all women. This is not saying that Mary has to be worshipped. This is just saying that Mary is so blessed that she was chosen. And I am so grateful for Mary that she received and accepted that call. And she was used by God for the Son of God to be conceived supernaturally and to be birthed into this world. But this is not saying that Mary is above all other women. No, this is just saying that Mary is so special. She has a special place in the history of the world. Okay, and we give Mary credit because she was obedient to God and she did not doubt God, and she was bold as a teenager to receive this amazing calling of her life. So we respect her, we are grateful for her, and yes, she is a blessed woman and highly favored, but that doesn't mean that she's more than us. That doesn't mean that we should adore her or worship her. We are not to worship her. We are only to worship the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that is all I want to say about that. So we continue here in verse 46 and verse 46 all the way to verse 56. These verses are typically called the Magnificat, because this is the song that Mary sung, praising and worshiping God after she received and accepted this news about conceiving the Messiah supernaturally. And many Catholic churches and Orthodox, they use this in their praise and worship time as part of their liturgy. Nothing wrong with that. So let's get into this. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So Mary, acknowledging her joy and worshiping God for being chosen in history to be the one to conceive the Messiah. And this is very appropriate. When we receive God's blessings, we should worship God and thank God because it's good for us. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Of course, Mary was humble. She received the truth. In God's kingdom, humility just means a person who obeys God's word, a person who is open to submit to God and walk in accordance with God's word. That's really what humility is, meaning you choose God's way, not your human reasoning. So Mary, as I talked about earlier, was very humble. She was very open. She received the word from Gabriel, the angel, as a word from God. She accepted it. So that is true humility. She didn't argue. She didn't doubt. And she is not boasting here. By Mary saying, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, Mary is not being prideful. It's true. She's just agreeing with God that I am chosen, I'm humble, and everyone will call me blessed because I am blessed. She was acknowledging that she is blessed. Likewise, when we are blessed by God, it is humility to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. It is humility to thank God for the blessings and talk about that. There's nothing wrong with that. Because there are people that God blesses them, but they are confused, thinking that when they say that God has really blessed me, that is pride. No. In fact, when you don't acknowledge and say that, that is pride. Uh-huh. Because remember, humility is just coming in agreement with God's word and praising God. So that's what Mary was doing here. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Awesome. Verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. So true. Obviously, Mary, you know, expressed humility, which really is the fear of the Lord. So Mary is saying that I'm a humble servant. I had a reverential fear for God. And his mercy has come upon me. So true. Okay, we are in verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. So true, just like what I was saying. Being proud in God's kingdom is disobeying God, choosing your way instead of God's way. That is pride in God's kingdom. Verse 52. Mary is still worshiping the Lord. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. So true. And this is so scriptural. Pride comes before a fall. But those who are humble, God will elevate and honor. In God's kingdom, humility is what God honors. Pride is what God does not honor. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forevermore, just as he promised our ancestors. So true, God had promised throughout the Old Testament that the Messiah would come, a virgin would conceive, the Son of God, and Mary is just saying that, God, you are so faithful. You are so merciful. You've blessed Israel. This is coming to pass. Verse 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Glory to God. That was an awesome prayer that Mary prayed there. Just worshiping God, thanking God, coming in agreement with God's word, coming in agreement with God's prophecies. This is a great example of how we should worship God, coming in agreement with God's word, expressing thanks in regards to God's faithfulness, Hopefully we can learn that here from Mary. So I want to end this session here, and I'll pick it up next time in verse 57 with the birth of John the Baptist, because there's a lot we've learned here. So what are the major principles and applications we've learned from verses 26 all the way to verse 56? Humility. We talked about that. Mary was a very humble servant. She came in agreement with God's word. She received the word of God from the angel Gabriel. She sought clarity from God. And because she sought clarity from God, God gave her specific details about what would happen to her. God gave her specific details plus more about future events. Friend, did you learn something from this? And the key application is this. Just to reiterate what I had already said, when we are seeking God for whatever it is we are seeking God for today, if we are not sure, we can always ask God for clarification. God is so willing to provide details down to the tiniest details that we need to fulfill the plan that He wants us to proceed with. We are not to doubt God. We are not to go to other people to ask for clarity first. We are to ask God to clarify His word in our heart, to clarify details or to clarify a vision directly. And as we are learning here, God is so willing. If God could provide Mary with such details, God will do the same for you and for myself. So let us go to God and seek clarity when we don't understand a revelation in His word. Don't go to another human being first. If you are a child of God, indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, it is that same Holy Spirit who inspired the word of God. That same Holy Spirit is standby, is there waiting to give you clarification. Just ask. Just ask, and God is willing and able to do the same for you. I hope you receive this in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is available right now to provide clarity from His word. His word, because Him, the Holy Spirit, inspired this word. Father, thank you. I just ask that you just speak to the hearts of all the listeners, whatever they are struggling with in their heart, God, give them clarification, even as you did the same for Mary, because you, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You are still willing to give us clarity about our dreams, our visions, and our callings. So I pray for all those who are desiring clarification from you, that they humble themselves and ask for clarification because you are willing. We thank you for your word that has encouraged us today. We thank you for Mary's humility and obedience. What a lesson for all of us. Thank you, God, for teaching us to live as children of obedience because we love you. We thank you. I thank you for blessing all the listeners today with your peace, your joy, and your understanding. I ask all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody who agrees says, Amen. God loves you. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth again. I just want to take this moment to thank all of you who have blessed us with a financial donation to help us produce these programs. And I want to thank all of you who have become Christ-centered partners with us. And for those of you who are considering becoming a partner, I want to thank you in advance for just considering our ministry to be a part of this. So I just want to say, if you have not yet blessed us with a financial donation, I just ask you to consider doing so by faith and just to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit to bless us so we can produce more of these shows. It is our heart's desire, which is also God's desire, to make this teaching available to many, many more people. But it costs money to do so. So we are trusting God that you will obey and bless us back with whatever amount the Lord puts in your heart. So Again, we thank you in advance for your love gift donation into God's work so we can reach many, many more people. And may God bless you and keep you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that whatever you give back into this ministry, God will multiply that and bless you back abundantly, exceedingly, until it overflows. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as you proceed with your day today, remember that God is with you always, enabling you to overcome in Jesus' name. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed and bye for now.